Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 3. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And our subject this morning is the second birth. Well, we look this morning at a passage of Scripture, at a verse of Scripture that is very important. And things that we could mention about this verse are so vast, we could spend a whole series, many weeks, just considering what this verse means, what it is to be born again. But this morning, we're just going to look at this very simply and with that purpose of examining ourselves to see if we are those who know that second birth, if we are born again. The meaning of these words are so vital, and yet they are so often misunderstood, or they are often ignored, or often mocked. But the clear teaching of Scripture and teaching that comes from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself is that we must be born again. Now, this is a conversation, or part of a conversation, that the Lord Jesus Christ has with a man called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, just to remind ourselves, many of you will know this very well, Nicodemus is a very religious man. He is a man of the Pharisees, we read in verse 1. He is a ruler of the Jews. And yet, as we shall see in this passage, this very religious man has difficulty understanding spiritual things. He has great difficulty. And this is very surprising, or it may be very surprising to us. This is surprising even to the Lord Jesus Christ, because in verse 10 he says to him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Nicodemus, you're supposed to be a religious teacher. If anyone ought to know about these things, you ought to know about these things. You go around looking very religious. If anybody sees you on the street, they will say, This man, he knows all mysteries. He knows all about religion. And yet, he doesn't seem to grasp the most crucial thing about being right with God. And well, dear friends, we have to start with this point, that this is actually quite common. Nowadays, you very often meet people who look very religious outwardly, who attend church very regularly, perhaps people who believe in God, and yet they do not seem to understand or grasp the most basic thing about being right with God. They don't really know what it is to be saved. What is it to be saved? What am I saved from? They ask you. What is repentance, they say? What is grace? I don't understand what grace is. And yet they seem to be so religious. They're in church every week, and yet they don't understand these things. I just thought Christianity was about attending church and being christened and confirmed and having a Christian wedding and singing hymns and all that. Just outwardly religious. And yet they don't know the ABC of the Christian faith, the basic things. They don't understand who Christ is. They don't understand why Christ died. Basic questions. And so we have to examine ourselves. Do we fall into this group? Perhaps like Nicodemus. Outwardly, we're very religious, faithful churchgoers, and yet we don't really understand what it is to be saved. What it means to be born again. Do we know this? Well, this is our starting point, so very important. And the Lord, well, he presents this statement in a very important manner, in a very weighty manner. Jesus answered, verse 3, and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily. Do you ever wonder what that means? We see it so often. It means, truly, I say this to you. What I am about to say is a statement of great truth and of great significance. In fact, the word verily in the Greek is amen. Amen and amen. We're used to hearing amen at the end of something. When we pray, at the end of the prayer, we say amen to give it weight, significance. But the Lord Jesus Christ often uses amen at the start of a statement to give it that significance, to give it that authority. This is something that I know to be true. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is so convinced of this. God himself is so convinced of what he's about to say. Amen and amen. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. So I just mention that again to put across the great importance of what we are about to consider. And may the Lord help us to consider this. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, what do these words mean? We must be born again. Well, let me start very simply. We all know and we all understand that each and every one of us in this room has been born naturally. That is the common experience of every person here, of every human being. They have been born, of course. We have all been born naturally. That's how we came into the world. We are conceived in the womb of our mothers, and then there is that 9-month period of expectancy, and then the child is born into the world. Every one of us has a birthday. And birth really is the beginning of life. Well, of course, we know that life begins in the womb at the point of conception. That's true, and we wouldn't say anything against that. But really, it's only when the child is born that he begins to express that life. He can't really do it. He or she can't really do it in the womb. The child, well, when he is born, then he begins to relate to those around him, to his parents, to his siblings. They can't do that in the womb. They start to communicate. They can't do that until they are born. This is what life is, relationship and communicating. And of course, they can do other things. They can play, they can walk, they can talk, they get older, they study, they go out to work. Life begins when we are born. That really is the very simple truth of it. We are born, and we all have a natural birth. But the scriptures teach us, and this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here, that there is something wrong with our natural birth. There's something wrong with it. Because even though our natural birth gives us physical life, it does not give us spiritual life. Our natural birth, physical life, yes, but not spiritual. So really, we only have actually half a life by virtue of our natural birth. Our natural birth gives us life, but it's not life in all its entirety. It's not life in all its fullness. It's only physical life that we have and know as natural human beings. And well, we need spiritual life. That's what the scriptures teach us. We need to know life in all its fullness. We need that spiritual life within, and that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. Why has Christ come? To give us life. We read that in John 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Because you don't have abundant life In your natural state, you only have the physical life. You need the spiritual life. That's what abundant life is. Abundant life is spiritual life, not simply the natural life that you have in this world by virtue of your natural birth. That's what God wants to give us in Christ, abundant life. So, well, even in your natural birth, let's try to apply this. In your natural birth, you can relate to others, as I've already mentioned, but you can't relate to God. You have no relationship with God. You can speak to other people, your parents, your siblings. You never speak to God. You only have half a life. You're not living that abundant life. You don't know the God who is your Father in heaven, the one who created you in the womb. You don't know him. You're separated from him, and you don't have that life that God wants you to have, that spiritual life. You're not born again. Your life is lacking in that respect. And indeed, this verse, well, it actually points out a specific problem with our natural birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. There are some things you cannot see. It's like you're born blind. Your natural birth actually leaves you blind. You cannot see the kingdom of God. How tragic. What does this mean? You cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, you cannot understand the word of God. You cannot understand the gospel. You cannot see the point of the gospel or having faith. You hear it, but you don't see the point. What's the point of me obeying this? What's the point of me becoming a Christian? You cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the beauty of the Lord's salvation. You don't really understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he just some religious figure? You can't really see that he is the Son of God, that he has come for you. You read the word of God, you don't see how it applies to you. I can't see any relevance for my life. You can't see it. It's like you're born blind. You're blind to the kingdom of God. But we have to add, of course, this is very important to mention, that this is a willing blindness, a willing blindness. The natural man cannot see the kingdom of God because he doesn't want to see the kingdom of God. That is a tragic state of his condition. He doesn't want to see the kingdom of God. I'm sure we have people who attend the church from time to time who come and attend the services, but they never understand and they never learn anything, and they're bored the whole time because they don't want to see. They don't want to see the whole point. They're not interested. It's almost as though they have their eyes closed. I don't want to see the Lord Jesus Christ or the beauty of the gospel. I'll just sit here with my blindness. It's a willing blindness. And this is so very sad because the natural man, well, he can see everything else. The natural man, he's only blind to the kingdom of God, but his eyes are very keen for the things of the world. I want the world. That's where their focus is. I see the things of the world, all the entertainment, all the music, all the leisure, all the things I can do in the world. They see that very well. Yes, I want that. I desire that. That's where their heart is. That's where their willingness is. But they're completely blind. They cannot see the kingdom of God. It's a willing blindness. We want to see the things of the world and live for them. But the kingdom of God, no, I'm not going to see it. The natural man is blind to the kingdom of God because he wants to be. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, why are we like this? Why is man like this? Well, this leads us to something else that's very wrong with our natural birth. We are born sinners. That's why we are like this. This is why we are blind to the kingdom of God. We're born sinners. That's the state of natural men. The greatest fault with man. The psalmist David spoke of this, and I've quoted this psalm and this verse many times. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David, King David, he knew, he understood. From the womb, I was a sinner. In sin did my mother conceive me. That's how I'm born. There's something wrong with my natural birth. This is the great tragedy of man. And well, this has happened, of course. How has this happened? Why is man like this? Well, the Bible gives the explanation in the book of Genesis. We read of the first man, Adam. Adam created by God on the sixth day of creation, and Adam was created upright. Let us not forget that. Adam was good. God created him good, and he was innocent of any wrongdoing. But what happened? Adam chose. He chose to disobey. He chose to rebel against God, to take of that forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I will sin against God. I will break that commandment that God has given me. And that's what he did. And there were great consequences. When Adam sinned, well, he brought a curse into the world, a curse upon himself and a curse upon all of his children. And that includes us. We are all children of Adam. We are all Adam's descendants. And the curse of Adam is our curse. We are born sinners. This is a terrible thing. That's how it is for each and every one of us. And in a sense, well, really, you see this sad story played out again and again with the birth of every child. When a child is born, well, is it not the same story as Adam's? A child is born into the world and is so innocent, looks so innocent, looks so pure, and in a sense they are. But it doesn't stay that way. Very soon they will disobey. Very soon they will start to misbehave. Very soon they will choose to be naughty. It's the same story as Adam. Adam, created innocent and good and upright, and then he fell into sin. And that same story is played out in every single one of us. We are born innocent, but it doesn't stay that way. We choose sin willingly, just like Adam. The same story repeated. It's a picture in every single one of us. We are born sinners. We are those who are steeped in sin. That is what is very wrong with our natural birth. A sad story. And well, we read in this passage, or the implication certainly is, that there are eternal consequences to this natural birth. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 5, continuing to answer Nicodemus and explain these things to him. Verily, verily, the two amens again. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There is no place in heaven for those who are not born again. You know, it has been said that if you are only born once, if you're only born once, you will suffer two deaths. If you're only born once, you will suffer two deaths. First, you will suffer your natural death, and then there is a second death that the Bible speaks of, an eternal death. You go to a place that is too terrible to even consider, a place of pain, torment, sorrow, and loss. If you're born once, you will suffer two deaths. But if you're born twice, if you are born again, there's only one death for you. that natural death, and well, dear friends, that's nothing to be afraid of. The natural death, it's only an entrance into the kingdom of God. You go to be with the Lord, which is far better. There's nothing to fear. It's hardly death at all. You're born twice. You only have one death. And you go to be with the Lord. So, dear friends, is it any wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ says, you must be born again? You must be born again. Dear friends, are you born again? You must be. But well, let us consider how we are to be born again. Time is running on. How can we do it? Well, Nicodemus was very confused about how to be born again. In verse 4, he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, of course not. You can't do it like that. In fact, you can't do it at all. When we are born again, it's the work of God. Well, it's just like your first birth. Did you have any say in your first birth? Did you do anything when you were born the first time, your natural birth? No, you were helpless. It was a work of God, your first birth. Well, it's the same with the second birth, but even more so. The second birth, it's a work of the living God. Born of the Spirit, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Verse 5. Well, these are intriguing words, but let's just focus on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Perhaps we don't speak of the Spirit enough. One God, three persons in the one Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three persons are equally God, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit has creating power, but whereas God the Son is in charge of creating all things in this world, the world, the creation, the Holy Spirit is in charge of creating within the man, creating within us. That's what the Holy Spirit does when we are born again. The Holy Spirit creates a new person within, just like in the womb. In the womb is not the baby being developed. First there is the back parts of the child, then the head, the brain is developed, then the organs, the heart, there's the development in the womb. Well, it's like that when we are born again. First, well, we have eyes, new eyes. Suddenly we can see the kingdom of God. We start to understand it. We're being born again. We're being regenerated. And then we have new ears. We can hear the gospel. You can hear the very voice of the Lord Jesus Christ crying out to you, come, I can hear it. You never heard it before. You were never born again, but now you are being reformed, regenerated. And you have a new heart. The Holy Spirit gives you a new heart. A heart that loves Christ. Before, you hated Christ. You hated coming into church and hearing these boring things. But now there is a new person within. A new heart has been given to you. You love the Lord. You love what Christ has done. You know that Christ loves you. Christ loved you so much that he went to the cross on Calvary. He took upon himself the punishment for your sin. The things that I've done, my lies, my lust, my pride, Christ willingly went and took upon himself the punishment for my sin because he loves me. I have a new heart. I love him now. This is what it is, the Spirit being born again. And well, the Lord says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Well, there are many interpretations of that. But really, this means cleansing. Water washes you and cleanses you. And that is a vital part of being born again. You are washed, you are cleansed, you are forgiven all your sins. For the first time in your life, you know you are right with God. I'm washed. The Holy Spirit has pointed me to Christ, led me to Christ, and I believe in him. I am right with God. I am a new person. The old person has gone, has died. Now I have been born of water and of the Spirit. I am washed and cleansed. I may now enter into the kingdom of God. Dear friends, these are glorious things. Does this speak of you? When you are born again, you will know it. You will know it when you are born again. Every single person here knows that they are born naturally. And so in the same way, when you are born again, you know it. You are aware of it. So we have to ask the question, have you had that experience? Do you truly know the Lord? Are you born again? Can you say that? When somebody asks you about your Christian faith, can you say, I'm a born again believer? Because you know how important it is. If I'm not born again, I cannot see the kingdom of God. If I'm not born again, I cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I must be born again. Dear friends, this is so very vital. This is crucial. This is how it will be in heaven. Well, I mentioned earlier that each and every one of us in this room, the common link that we have is that we have been born naturally. And that's very true. But you know, in heaven, in that eternal state, the common link that everybody will have is that they have been born again. There will not be a single person in heaven who has not been born again. We must be born again, dear friends. Go to the Lord. Pray to him. Say, Lord, work in me by the power of thy Holy Spirit. Make me new. Create in me that new heart, those new eyes, those new ears, that I may obey the Lord and repent and have faith. Work in me. I cannot do it myself. It is all of grace. It is all of the Lord. And you will be changed. You will be born into everlasting life. And the Lord will give you that peace that this world cannot give. These words are so important. Jesus answered Nicodemus and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. May we all come to the Lord and seek that new birth that can only come from on high.